You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What's up, you guys? It's Kelly. And I was just sitting here thinking about life and things. And I just felt like I wanted to talk to y'all for a second and give you a brief little intro about today's podcast. First of all, I just have to say, I feel so much gratitude to this podcast and for you guys for listening and giving me this opportunity to talk to people and learn from people that I admire and look up to. It's truly taught me so much, and it's not anything that I ever take for granted. The older I get, the more I just want to sit with people who have been on this earth longer than me and pick their brains on anything and everything about life. I don't know if anyone else feels that way, but I think for me, part of this is just because I'm starting to realize how much of life truly is about the journey. We always hear that, but I'm really starting to believe it. And that's all it is. It's the ups and the downs, the things that shape us and mold us, the relationships, the losses, the love, the success. There isn't one moment that I believe you feel like you've ever just made it. I don't think that moment happens. I think the whole thing is this growth and an evolution and then this surrender and this accepting over and over and over again. But I'm finally getting to a place in my life where I'm starting to find real peace in that acceptance. When I was really thinking about the words for this month, the words are dare and purpose, which also happened to be Chip and I's words for the year. But I kept coming back to this conversation I had about a year ago with iconic fashion designer Norma Kamali. I talk about this a lot, but I put a lot of focus in my life on trying to balance the importance of the inner beauty and outer beauty. And to me, that balance feels a little bit like something we're missing in this world. And so I haven't always been able to navigate it perfectly or known exactly where to file things yet. However, I can't actually think of a person or a conversation that covers both parts of external and internal beauty so incredibly well. Norma Kamali is responsible for things like popularizing shoulder pads back in the day, and then the forever famous Farrah Fawcett red bathing suit that I know hung on so many people's walls on that poster so many years ago. But she has maintained a thriving business for over 50 years. And she has all of this focus on the external with that. But what this conversation gave me was so much insight into internal beauty and the internal beauty that comes from continued growth, self-awareness, and believing in yourself so much that you bet on yourself, even when no one else does. What she taught me from this conversation was the importance of finding your true life purpose and never straying away from that. She actually even said that finding your purpose is the thing that can lead you to your true soulmate. We talked about the power of aging, and as a 76-year-old, I'm telling you guys, I am buying whatever she is selling. But maybe most importantly for me was hearing about her struggles as much as her successes, and then just this simple reminder that life is always up and down. the acceptance that the universe is always teaching us lessons and they are here for our own higher purpose always. I had to bring this conversation back for those of you who may not have heard it, and maybe for those of you who could listen again and hear some other little nuggets that may help you on your journey today. Miss Kamali is most definitely full of those. Here's our conversation.
Conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. It's the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson.
Norma Kamali is here. I was just telling you, I'm such a big fan of your work. If you knew how many pieces of your designs that I have in my closet, you would be like, oh, well, this is the perfect fit for this interview.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. That's good.
Yes, yes. And we were just talking. You are also a Cancer sun and a Pisces rising. Isn't that what you told me? So we both have the Cancer rising in our signs, which I have never met anyone else who has as much water in their chart as I do. And so it's so refreshing, I guess.
Here we are.
Here we are, all the feels.
But I think, you know, you have Taurus and balancing that, and I have Aquarius, and we're probably perceived as Taurus and Aquarius more than we are. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, totally.
I think Cancers are always thought of as moms at home, a ton of kids, and sort of Pisces is passive and sweet. And I mean, not that we're not.
Right.
but there are so many ways to nurture, and a lot of it can be done through the work you do, right? And through the work I do.
Do you think that that part of your chart is what stimulates your creativity? Because just like you said, I feel like my clients get a lot of my mothering and nurturing. Do you feel that way about your designs?
Well, I think every designer has the experience of hearing stories from people who wear the clothes. And, you know, it could be about meeting their soulmate or getting married and something, you know, all of that. So there's something about clothes that hug a human body. But I do think the sort of the wellness, healthy lifestyle part of what I do is more of the nurturing, and my book, which is a handbook for women, is more about serving women and nurturing women through my experience. And so I think you're right. You do it with your clients, and I do it through my communication, and it's probably a good part of our purpose in this lifetime.
Yes, I agree with you. I want to get into what you just kind of touched on in a minute about all of the things you're doing now and bringing to women specifically. I love your mission with women, but I want to give the people a backstory. If you guys don't know Norma Kamali's work, she has been in the fashion industry for over 50 years. You're 76 now, which is amazing. You look amazing, by the way. So exciting. But so you are a born and raised New Yorker. Did you always know you wanted to do fashion? I mean, I know fashion is such a huge industry in New York, and basically, you know, everyone grows up thinking about New York in relation to fashion. So did you always know this was something you wanted to do?
No, when I grew up, it was 50s and 60s when I was like teens, and the fashion at the time was Mad Men fashion, you know, with that look and pantyhose and garter belts and cone bras. I hated it. I absolutely did not like clothes and fashion, but I wanted to be a painter, and I was taking a lot of painting classes and anatomy classes. And so I was learning how to draw the human form, and my room had Michelangelo drawings and everything that was inspired by the human form. It wasn't until, and I wanted, again, to be a painter, and my mother convinced me that she would not pay for anything if I continued to be a painter. And so I had to end up getting a scholarship, and I ended up getting a scholarship to FIT. As an illustrator. My first job interview was just so horrible. The guy who was interviewing me was eating a tuna sandwich with his feet up on the desk. And he said, young lady, put your portfolio down and turn around for me. And I heard my mother saying, get a job, get a job. And he was the power in the room. And I turned around and I started crying. I was so humiliated that I did that, that I lost my dignity and allowed that to happen. And I ran out and I said, this is not for me. I don't want to be in the fashion industry. And at the time, if you looked in the New York Times classified section, you could find jobs. And there was a job in the office at an airline. And I thought, I want to travel. I'm going to see if I can get a job. So I worked at a UNIVAC computer in the office of Northwest Orient Airlines. And I went to London every weekend for $29 round trip for 4 years. And that's when that whole 60s revolution started. And I was there, I was inspired, and I became a part of it right away.
Wow. So you kind of experienced the Me Too moment before the Me Too moment.
The Me Too moment has been around a long time. I have a lot of Me Too, really insane situations. But you have to remember, there's so much behind Me Too because, first of all, our mothers and mothers raised the boys that were behaving that way, right? But there's also another part of it that a lot of the boys had to go to Vietnam. They were losing their lives. They were inducted into really tough situations. So there was more than the idea that these guys are giving their lives. So they did have a favor over women. Do you know what I mean? There was a consideration that we don't think about now because it is such a different time. But the behavior needed to be modified, needed to be changed. But there were a lot of other circumstances that sort of kept that a practice that we would not tolerate, you know.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I forgot about the war piece of that. That really does make sense.
Yeah, the boys were getting enlisted. If you look at the Ukraine now and you look at the Russia, boys are getting inducted. They're just chosen to go, and that's not happening for women. So that's a big thing that we don't talk about now, but that is a realistic kind of factor in the relationship between men and women.
Mm-hmm. So once you started going to London and realizing that fashion was something you were really interested in, what was the transition, or how did you get involved in actually becoming a designer?
Well, I ended up being in a time and place where music was changing. I ended up meeting people that were involved in music at the time, and even being in this club called The Speakeasy, where Jimi Hendrix was only musicians, and I met some musicians who invited me to come to the club every weekend. And I was very good friends with Jeff Beck and a lot of the, you know, the great people of the time. And that inspiration and the clothing that I was bringing back for friends. So prior to this period, nobody showed their knees in clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, the Mad Men, nobody showed their knees. And a good reason was, if you're wearing stockings and a garter belt, it's not, you know, it's not going to be good that you see the top of the stockings. And it just wasn't what was happening. London, when I arrived, it was just beginning to go through this transformation. And I started seeing skirts mid-thigh and faster than the speed of life. I hemmed my skirt up and I said, not happening here with this long skirt. And then I started bringing clothes back, and all my friends just like, keep bringing stuff. And then other people heard about it. So I opened a basement store for $285 a month. And I painted the floor, and the Salvation Army had this snakeskin wallpaper, and I put that up in these funky sort of display cabinets. And I opened a little small space, and I would bring the clothes back. And then I would say in the third year of doing that, I started to have my own ideas of things that I would like to see that I wasn't seeing. And I begged my mother, who used to make my clothes, and we would fight constantly about the styles I wanted and the styles she thought I should be wearing. And I begged her to help me make some things, and they sold right away. And so I got the bug, and I was sort of, this is it. I've got to do this. And that's when I realized I felt very comfortable about it. And then I had a full page in Vogue and a full page in Harper's Bazaar. And it'd been 6 months that I'd been making the clothes. And I thought, they're going to find out I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And it'll be over. But I am so excited. So yeah, that was the beginning.
So you just so quickly got picked up. I read somewhere too, you are the one responsible for the Farrah Fawcett bathing suit, that red bathing suit in the iconic right. picture. I mean, was there a moment other than the moment you just mentioned where you were like, oh my gosh, this is actually going to work?
Well, you know, I'm still the sole owner of my company.
Okay.
And in order for that to happen and not have partners, there were a lot of years where I thought, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be out of business. Or I would cry myself to sleep and thinking, how am I going to pay for fabric? What am I going to do? So there were a lot of lean years, and but not without something wonderful happening at the same time, like two full pages of magazines, and I don't know how I'm going to get fabric, right?
Yeah.
So it always, whether it's whatever field, it could be music or anything, that's what's happening. You're famous, but you're penniless at the same time. So there was a period where I, all of a sudden, being underground to being out of that sort of private little space, happened when I was doing swimwear cover-ups for my swimwear collection. And as a swimmer, I would always wear my brother's sweatshirt when I got out of the water. And at the time, you can only buy sweatshirts like that at Army Navy stores or boys and men's stores. And so I bought gray sweatshirt fabric to make cover-ups. And I ended up saying, oh, wow, maybe I should make a gown. Maybe I should make a jacket. Maybe I should make a suit. And I had 36 pieces out of gray sweatshirt fabric. And no, this was still hangover time from Studio 54, where glitter and color was still popular. So nobody was doing this. It was very different. And I was copied so much at the time. And everybody was, I would see Bloomingdale's with take my designs and make money on it. And I wasn't able to like pay the rent. And I thought, I can't show this to anybody. So I called Women's Wear and I asked them to come and give me advice. And they said, don't show it to anybody. You need to work with a manufacturer who will help make this for you. And I met this guy, a friend of mine was a lawyer, and I couldn't afford a lawyer. And he said, this is what you ask for. This percentage, this royalty, this for advertising. I had a little steno pad and we met and he said, can I see the line? I said, no, I can't actually show it to you. And he said, well, Women's Wear said, I have to do it. So what would you like? And I said, I took out my pad, so naive. And I said, I'd like this royalty, this minimum guarantee. Da, da, da. And he said, okay, shook hands 2 weeks later. So then globally, all of a sudden, people knew me through this, not anything I'd done before.
Wow. I love that you're saying the truth about, even if you have, you know, a huge spread in Harper's Bazaar, you can't pay your rent. Because right. isn't that the life of a creative? It's just like,
totally.
It looks so luxurious from the outside. And we know that in the trenches,
right.
it's just not like that.
I know. And it's usually the times when people get awards or it's the irony of it all that it's at those times that you think, oh my God, I'm going to get found out for sure. You know, especially when you're in your 30s and you haven't, like by the time you get to 40, that the 30s are so much about faking it till you make it, you know, let's see if I can make my way through this. And then when you get into your 40s, your identity is pretty set, and it's a time when you can monetize your brand. But there's a period of time throughout your life where it's always up and down. It's never, ever, ever a straight bar of even temperament, even events. So, and the process is learning and growing, right? The universe is teaching us lessons, and we have to stop doing certain things and change. So the process is always there, and the irony of getting credited when you're in the worst time and when you're feeling the best, like nobody's paying attention.
Right.
So it's crazy. And the expectations of a creative life, very often in fashion, if you go in the fashion schools, everybody wants to be rich and famous. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, good. Do it, but then you maybe need investors and partners, and then you don't have the independence to do what you want. And I haven't ever had anybody telling me what I should design or when I should do it. But I've also had the responsibility of learning how to run a business mm-hmm. and being responsible for that part of it, which I actually have learned to enjoy. And I thought I'd never be qualified to do that.
Well, it's such a different mindset than the designing mindset, I would imagine. So it's like you have this one side of you that's the creative, looking at silhouettes and all of the designs, and then the other business side, it's like a totally different brain function. How do you balance that?
It actually turned out to be my greatest asset, because when I started, I got married at 19. I left out that part. I married an Iranian student who was gorgeous and a really good dancer, and we danced together great. And my mother was menopausal, and you didn't just leave the house, you had to get married. So I cried the day I got married because I knew it wasn't what I should be doing, but I married him, and he was lovely and, like I said, gorgeous, but we were kids, and he was helping. We joined together for the store, because while he was going to school, you know, he had time to sell the clothes in the store. And so it was that kind of thing. And then eventually we grew in different ways, and my independence as a designer and feeling confident in it eventually became threatening for him. And nobody knew me. He was the face of the company. I was in the sample room all the time. And eventually I had to leave, because it just, you know, when your husband is dating the sales girls that you fire, and he rehires them, and then they tell you what they want you to make for their design ideas, it's like, okay, I think I'm going to go.
Yeah, and that wouldn't really work for me.
So I left with $98 to my name, and I had separated from him. So I had an apartment that had a mattress, no curtains. And I was like, now what do I do? I've never run a business. I know nothing about it. Women didn't get loans from banks then. And what did I have? I had $98 and press clippings. Like, what is that? And so I had to learn. I really had to learn how to run a business, but I also had to learn to talk to people and tell people my story because I kept everything a secret. I was so embarrassed by it. And then I learned that if you tell your story, people actually want to help. And so that transition was another very painful one. And here I am with $98, and I learned how to do business. And that door opened for me to meet this guy who was going to do the business, the sweatshirt business with me, which changed my life completely. And that wouldn't have happened if I stayed. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I thank this girl who came in to show me her designs, who was dating my husband with a big ring and whatever. And I thank her. At the time, I didn't want to thank her, right. I have to say, but I thank her for being a part of the catalyst to get me up and out of there so that I could move on and be where I should be going.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Yeah, hindsight always makes it a lot easier to see what the universe was actually bringing to you. What did you, how, because you've had such a long-standing business, what were the things that you would say to yourself in the moment to keep going or to encourage yourself? Or when you said in your 30s, you're kind of faking it till you make it. I mean, I really resonate with that. I'm about to turn 40, but I'm finally feeling like,
you know, yeah.
Yes, like I'm finally feeling like, it's okay, great. I'm figuring myself out. But that doesn't mean I still don't struggle with that little bit of imposter syndrome. And yeah. So what were the messages that you would say to yourself to keep going and to keep the business so successful?
Well, I mean, you have to, if you're in a creative field, you have to be passionate about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I still love my job. I love my job. And I loved it then. And I knew I had so much that I wanted to do. And so the idea of not being able to have a voice and being able to do it did just was not something that I wanted in my life. But at the time, there were no women in my world or in the fashion industry who were having their own business and designers and business people. I didn't have anybody to look at. And so I just had to go on the passion I felt. And so that's where, you know, the Cancer Pisces, the feeling that I must do this, I love this so much, really kept me going. And I realized if I wanted to do this, I had to learn about business. I had to understand how to integrate the business side of it, the creative side of it. And I am so grateful for that. I don't think I would be in business 55 years right. if I didn't have that. I would have partners and maybe not be in business anymore, like a lot of incredibly talented designers who had partners or investors, and then the investors say, I'm not going to take a chance for another season. And for me, I would scramble to make it happen so I could get to the next season if I needed to. So there are lots of risks and rewards and sacrifices and big highs, but that's part of the process through your 30s. And in your 40s, what you have to look forward to is really fantastic because, yes, today, every time you do something new, it's another risk. It's another scary thing. Sure. Or am I going to do it? So I'm always trying to do new things. So I'm always having this imposter mm-hmm. thing going on. But I'm a little bit more experienced. And so now you're more experienced. And as you get into your 40s, your brand is clear to you.
Yeah.
It's now, how do you monetize it? How do you give it the value that it deserves now? And that's another fun episode. That there's a lot of fun in that. And there are other lessons to learn that are different from the 30s lessons. And you've already gone through your Saturn return when you were 30. So you know how to go through a crisis. Mm-hmm. And so now you're not naive in the way you were when you were in your 20s and 30s. You're more savvy and you can negotiate for yourself too. You know what it is you want and you can do it. And the thing is making sure you're living up to your dream, your mm-hmm. goals, and thinking about what that is and being clear about it so that you don't meander and you just stay in that road. Sometimes there's adjustments, but mm-hmm. really being clear about your purpose and what you're meant to be doing in this lifetime.
Yeah, I love that. My best friend always says when she turned 40, was the moment she decided, I have to start really taking a bet and believing in myself,
yeah.
or else no one else is going to.
That's
so
right.
She did, and her entire career shifted. And now 5 years later, I see her just thriving. And I look forward to that. And that, I'm really trying to lean in right now to, okay, you're right. Like I am figuring out who I am and what my brand is and what I want to stand for. And I'm going to start taking a bet on myself.
Totally.
In order to maintain. So when you, on your journey, you said that you haven't sold, you haven't brought in other people. Was there a moment where you were offered that option? Did it seem enticing ever? Or why did you decide to stay on your own?
Well, it was always enticing, especially when I had no money.
Right.
It was really enticing. Fashion shows are excruciatingly expensive.
Yes.
And that's the way designers show their collections. And I couldn't afford to do a fashion show. I did a few, but I couldn't afford when I had the license agreement, I had an incredibly huge budget. And even then I didn't want to do fashion shows. So I did films, mm-hmm. That I still love that were really sort of, almost like Sex in the City, little 20-minute films showing the collection. And I thought that was going to be the thing that took over fashion shows. But I was wrong. But for most of my life, I couldn't afford to do fashion shows. And so I had to be creative about the way I did things. And then there were times where advertising and these big budgets were really critical in the way designers got recognition, and there were offers that were very, very enticing. I did licenses in Europe and in Asia, and that was a form of income, a sort of partnership, but not really like somebody owning part of your business. And I always, in the end, decided, you know what? I rather live a creative life and have free will more than anything. That's really what's important to me. So I chose that. And I also chose to stay in the background and not be a celebrity designer because I felt that, first of all, I still feel that way, that my clothes are really the important thing, and the people wearing them, that combination is thrilling for me. And so I didn't want to be out front. And I think that served me well too, because it's very easy to get tired of celebrities and tired of designers. And I think I would have gone in the waste bin with a lot of other people along the way. But I, being in the background and lasting 55 years, I think has a lot to do that. That's the path I chose, where I was quieter, doing my thing and letting everybody else shine. And when my clothes are worn, I love it. I love seeing everybody. I love seeing people who are not famous and post on Instagram and look amazing, and I'm seeing the range of clients I have, and I love seeing celebrities wear my clothes too and sort of create this other magic that happens in those situations.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about your brand. Not only are your designs so unique, and you're actually credited with things like making the shoulder pad popular in the 80s. I mean, huge fashion statements. And, you know, now we can see Sarah Jessica Parker still wearing your stuff on this new Sex and the City reboot.
Right.
But for us normal people, the items are affordable and they're very attainable for a normal lifestyle, which is something that I've always so greatly appreciated, because a girl who just wants to look cool and feel good can still, you know, attain these items, and it's not so out of reach for us regular folk, which is so exciting.
To me, they're very important parts of what I do. One is I want the clothes to be timeless. My sleeping bag coat is still on in my collection. I did in 1974 out of my sleeping bag. That coat is still a hot style. It's inspired a lot of other big puffy coats. Mm-hmm. And so timeless style is really important to me. Fit and quality are important, and affordable. I feel that talent and design does not have to be expensive. If I'm creative, I should be able to make clothes that are fun to wear, that can last forever in your wardrobe, that don't have to be dry cleaned, that you can wash them. Dry cleaning is a no-no for me. Yes. It's like feeding a dog. You know, you get a dog and then you keep feeding it and feeding it. Well, a dress should not have to be subsidized. I mean, you just wash it and done. So I think being practical about fashion gives people the freedom to have fun with it, and that it's not precious and it wasn't so expensive, and that you can wash it if it gets dirty. So you can sit on the floor. Women are much more versatile in the way they use their bodies and the way we behave. And so I'm on the floor half the day fitting and doing things. I'm a very active person. I work out. I like to do physical things. I don't want my clothes to be so precious that I can't wear this to an event in the evening or work out in it. I want to be able to do both. And I think that's what modern clothes should be about.
It's so funny that you mentioned those two examples because I have one of your jumpsuits. It's this velvet jumpsuit with this cute belt, and I wear it to cocktail parties a lot, and it's always a hit. I mean, it's got these pockets. It's just, everyone is constantly like, where did you get that? I wear it with a pair of Louboutins, or I could wear it to the gym because it's so comfortable and so cute that I can make it, you know, streetwear, throw on a pair of an Adidas shoe and walk down the street. And it's so versatile, which I feel with all of your designs. And there's things that I could wear all of the time. And like you said, I just feel like that is such an important piece of fashion, especially for, you know, the people listening. I know I appreciate fashion so much, but I also need it to be practical for my life.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is you're talking about Sarah Jessica Parker and the new show. And at the beginning of the show, I saw some of my vintage pieces there and I thought, oh, that's funny that she's wearing vintage now. And then there was a photograph of her wearing this dress we call the Diana dress. And she looked amazing in it. And she looked modern and she looked powerful in her age and her everything. And we have been struggling to, I mean, we're making so many of those dresses before that and the supply chain issue, and we figured out a strategy of how we're going to fill all these orders because it's been a very popular dress, and increasingly through COVID it even became more popular. And then we figure it out and I see this picture and it's on the internet and I'm like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And so by some strange twist of fate, we decided to just invest in fabric in a few colors. And one of the colors was that blue. And so the dress is very interesting because I did it in 1973. And it was a different fabric and it was very popular. And I made it, it didn't have a bodysuit inside the way the new one has. And then I did it again in the 80s, a little different fabric, did very well. And when I decided to do it again, I thought I need to put the bodysuit in so there's real comfort and this, you don't have to think about anything. And then seeing all of the body types, pregnant women, everybody wearing the dress and thinking, oh my God, incredible that such a diverse group of women and girls and body types and everything. And it was just so wonderful to see. And then coincidentally on Valentine's Day, I bumped into Sarah Jessica Parker at a restaurant and we had a great conversation about the dress, and she wears my clothes for other things too. So we talked about the power of aging and how you present yourself in that power physically too, not just, you know, the attitude of it. But and she's got a tremendous opportunity in that show to highlight the power of aging. And we had a conversation about it, and I think we'll probably have more, but it was really, it was great to see her, especially after the whole Carrie dress thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the power of aging, because that was one of the parts of your story now that you, I love this mission that you're bringing to women of just owning your age and aging gracefully and all of, and the power in that. And I hear so much of that in your story and how you've really embraced your journey. What would you say to women who are just sitting here, like I'm sitting here going, oh, you know, I'm turning 40 and there's so much that's changed in my life the last 3 years. And in so many ways, I've convinced myself that that means that I'm a failure or like, oh God, it's too late. You know, those mentalities. And I mean, I'm turning 40. So I love that you're laughing. This is great. But so
it's hysterical. Okay? Yeah.
Tell me why. Tell us why, because I want to know what you've learned.
So, I think this is an important part of my communication with women, and I'm really serious about this. At 65, I met my soulmate. I wasn't ready for him before 65. Mm. My friend, the astrologer, told me in 1970 that I would meet my soulmate in my 60s. And I said, should I slit my wrist now? What are you saying to me? You don't know what you're talking about. Yada, da, da, da. I had boyfriends along the way, but I chose the dreck of life because the truth is I wasn't ready for a real relationship yet. I was still developing and I had stuff to do, my stuff, right? I had stuff to take care of. Now, I'm not saying wait till you're 65, then it'll be great. It's different for everyone. So you cannot, like at 30, when we're all saying, what the hell? Life is passing me by. Oh my God. And we're all crying because life is passing us by. That's the Saturn return that's saying it's not the same for everybody. This is a transformation that's different. So relationships, the relationship part of our growth and evolution is different for all of us. And I didn't think I was going to meet a soulmate. I just thought it was other people had it. And I was actually okay because my friendships were great. And, you know, I was dating interesting people. And as long as I wasn't thinking about marrying them, they could be stupid if they had to be or whatever. I'm like, all right, whatever. And I had great adventures, I have to say. But the development, our development through each decade is so important. The growth and development and the focus on your purpose is the key. So I knew I wanted a creative life. I knew it, always knew it. I wanted a creative life and I didn't want people telling me how to be creative. And so the choices I made and the decisions I made were based on that, right? Mm-hmm. So I did not take partners. I did not take investors. I did licenses because I still own my own company, but I didn't have partners. And those choices were made because I understood what was important to me and my moral fiber, who I wanted to be. And I think, I'm sure you know what that purpose is. Maybe you don't have it sort of smoothed out and perfect, but you know intuitively what that is. And you have to keep that straight ahead of you so that the decisions you make, choices you make about your brand and how you develop it, are really made with the core of who you are. When you feel like you're on the path for that and you love yourself, right? When you understand self-love, that's when that person who is going to love you comes into your life. Because before you identify who you are, what your purpose is, and loving yourself. A lot of us don't really love ourselves in the way we should. So we attract people who don't really love us either. They play us. They hurt us. They do things in a self-serving way. They see our weaknesses. They play into them. I have stories. We all have stories, but I have like lots of stories because I'm older than you are. But the point is, it took me to 65 to deal with some issues that had to do with relationships, family relationships, the toxic family relationships that had me locked in. When I dealt with that, I was 65, and it took that long for me to show love to myself and then to attract somebody who's going to love me in that way. So there's a lot of work to do. Many people can do this faster than I did. So I don't want to depress everybody. But the point being, I also understood that I learned in the 80s when my friends were dying of AIDS that healthy lifestyle was so critical to the immune system. And so I sought out people who were, you know, Andrew Weil is one of them. A lot of these people who were early innovators in this practice, in this world. And I studied with them, and I studied with Horst, who developed Aveda, and I really became a student of healthy lifestyle. And I decided to adopt that for me so that I could feel good in my body, that I could feel good about aging. So I have lines on my face. I show my age, even though people say, oh, you don't look your age. And I'm like, yeah, I do look my age. I am an example of my age.
Okay.
Because this is an example of what 76 can look like. But it's loving yourself. So you eat properly, you sleep properly, you do things, you work out, and you take care of your body. That's also self-love. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, aging feels powerful because my mind has all of this information for all the years of experience I have. So I can share it with people and I can use it for new projects I'm working on.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, speaking of those new projects, let's talk about the Wellness Cafe, because I think what you just touched on about our immune systems and so much of that has come up with COVID, obviously. But when I look at you, I'm like, wow, you are showing such a great example of something at 76, what 76 can look like. And the peace and calm and just your demeanor even is so something that I would want to strive to. And so what have you brought, or what are you bringing to other people with this wellness cafe? And what are the lessons that you've learned to get there?
So I initially did the wellness cafe after 9/11. Because I realized after 9/11, everybody's immune system would have a certain tension, and that to compensate for that, there would have to be a reckoning with lifestyle, and that eating properly and understanding what fitness and, you know, the three pillars of a healthy lifestyle, sleep, diet, exercise, what that means. And so I invited people to come speak. It was a place where we had films and like-minded people came out of the woodwork. And I started to bring in products that would be, for instance, if you're going to brush your teeth, there's a lot of controversy around toothpaste, right? There's sugar in toothpaste, chemicals in toothpaste. So I found a tooth soap that also pulled bacteria out of your system. And we know gut health is very important. And that was like, oh, this is a great thing to do. And a mouthwash that alkalined your system while it was a mouthwash. And so I started to find all of these very interesting choices that were immune boosters. And then the Wellness Cafe became a bigger part of other projects I was working on. And then finally, through COVID, I decided to put the Wellness Cafe up on our website and put up some of the mainstay products that I use every day of my life. And what I've learned is the latest flavor of the month of new thing that's going to make you look 20 years younger or whatever, thinner, and all of this crazy shit is just crazy shit. It's not real. It's some of it could be good, but timeless ingredients work. And I have road tested these things, and I believe in them so that I still use them, and I will continue to use them, and I'm sharing them with everybody. And so if you go to Norma Life and the Wellness Cafe, you'll see them, and they're really worth trying. They're really so valuable in that they not only boost your immune system, but they make you feel good and look good right away. Anything that's going to work, and Stephen Gundry and I had this conversation, if it's going to work, it's going to work right away. You don't have to wait 2 weeks to see if the wrinkle goes away. You don't have to wait a month to see if whatever it is going to work. It's going to work. And I think that's really what people need to understand is try something. If it works, be loyal to it. You don't have to jump around. You don't have to have a drawer full of products that are in a graveyard of things you're never going to use again. Be realistic about timeless ingredients, because they're timeless for a reason, right? They work. So I have had a lot of experience in searching for these things. I've spent a lot of time in olive orchards, learning about the value of olive oil and the value of tea. These are two things that are inside outside, right? You can use them both internally and externally. And so I've made products using these ingredients, and I also source products. I have, there's a product called Green Vibrance, which is a powder, a green powder I use, and it's packed with nutrition. And it's an old school powder. I mean, that it's like from the 70s.
Is it really?
But they, a great couple bought the company about 10 years ago, and they sort of upgraded everything, and the ingredients are fantastic. And mm-hmm. And if you have that every day, it's like, you know, it's great for every cell in your body, for your hair, your eyes, your bones, everything. Yeah. And so all of these things can add to this little regimen that you put together for yourself. And when you feel different and you see that you look different, why not buy into it mm-hmm. and treat yourself that way without it being a big 12-step ordeal, right?
Yeah. I love that. And you guys can go find all of these products are the Wellness Cafe on Norma's website. It's normakamali.com. I'm just such a fan of you. I'm such a fan of your designs in general, but now I'm learning more about you as a person and just this aging with power. I'm so grateful that you're bringing that to women because I feel like the pressure that we put on ourselves to hit certain mile markers, you know, like by 30, you should be married. And I love hearing that you met your soulmate at 65 because that's when you actually knew yourself. And everyone's yeah. journey is just so different.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's what we should lean into. That's yeah. where the true power is. So tell people where else they can keep up with you.
Well, you can follow me on Instagram and see what's going on.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You know, Kelly, I have a question for you.
Sure. What?
So what is your brand?
You know, that is so interesting that you asked, because as you were speaking about that, you said to me, I think you know what your brand is. And I, when I've mentioned the last 3 years, a lot of it shifting, it has. And so much of it was really heavy fashion-based and outer beauty based. And part of what I do believe I'm meant to bring to this world, just like we were saying before, is really looking at the insides and the internal beauty and just the feelings and being okay and comfortable in our feelings and of ourselves. And so that is what I want my brand to become, because I'm very comfortable speaking about those things. And I didn't really realize how rare that was until now. So,
great.
That's what I'm shifting towards.
Very good. That's great. I think, you know, the more you talk about what that brand is, the mm-hmm. more you'll find yourself formulating it and seeing it come to light. So I think it's important that you talk about it and see people's reactions and get feedback with that. A lot of times, taking a concept and then, of course, never forgetting mm-hmm. what, you know, self-love, what it is, you know, what is your purpose? Mm-hmm. How do you see your purpose? Obviously, nurturing is, you know, part of our characteristics, but what is your purpose so that you stay on point with it? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it'll happen very quickly too, because it's amazing as you get 40. I remember 39 to 40 really well. Like I remember 30 really well too. And all of a sudden it goes. It's really? Like, bam, yeah. And so you need to be very active about okay. it. You need to be very, put a lot of energy into it. Don't waste okay. any, don't waste a minute on distractions.
Okay. That's really good advice because I've been yeah. wasting a lot of minutes on distractions.
I'll do that. Not now.
Yeah.
So now you can't.
So basically, when you figured out what you wanted your brand to be, you just started talking about it and staying true to it. Did you write it down somewhere and then start speaking about it to people, or how did that work?
Yeah. So in my case, I had my business, right? Mm-hmm. And so I went through, and I've had the same business, but obviously the business can't stay the same. So
right.
every time I am thinking of a new idea or a new direction, I have to make a leap. I have to invest in myself, right? I have mm-hmm. to make changes or do something different, just like you're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And in the process of doing that, I need to sound off, right? I need yeah. to talk to people. Sometimes it can be a confidant. Sometimes it could be your astrologer, quite frankly.
Yeah.
For me, my astrologer was super helpful because I've known her for so long, and she would give me good feedback, and I would talk to her about what I was thinking about, and she would clue me into timing. She would clue me into be careful of people you meet right now or things like that. So I treasure the help I've gotten through astrology, even though all those years people would make fun of me if I asked them their sign. I'm like, that's oh, me you're too. So spooky. You're so funny. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, all right. But I would use, if you feel good about your mm-hmm. astrologer, mm-hmm. I would use that person. And then there are people who are wise that you know.
Yes.
There are people or that you don't even know. I've called people today that I don't know that are doing something that I think is really fantastic. And I want to learn about it. I want to know about it. And I've learned so much from total strangers that become friends. So you have to not be shy about that either. So what if they say no and they don't, like, what are you losing? You're not losing anything.
That's true. Yeah.
But you have to sort of just go for it and reach out. Somebody's doing something, or feel like you can call me or yeah. send me an email. Like, you know what? Heads up. I have a question. Ask me the question, tell you what I'm thinking. You get feedback.
Yeah.
Nobody will say no. Okay. I promise you. They don't. People want to help people. But you have to, like I learned to tell my story to get mm-hmm. help. Mm-hmm. That's now, you need to just, this is what I'm thinking. What kind of feedback? Get asked questions. But it doesn't have to be girlfriends that you're asking. This has to be, you want to get different feedback from people in the know, and they may come up with ideas and suggestions that you didn't even think about that just are opportunities that are great. So you have nothing to lose now because you have a brand.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not 35, right? You have a brand. So now make it happen and be aggressive about it. Make calls, talk to people, reach okay. out, ask somebody who knows somebody. Hey, you know, I'd love to meet that person. I'd love to ask them a few questions. Would you mind doing an introduction? Mm-hmm. Nothing to lose.
That's going to go on my mirror. Nothing to lose. Ask the question.
True. It's true.
That is power.
Yeah. So that, it's a lot of fun too. It really is.
I'm going to trust you on that one until I believe it myself.
Right. Try it.
Okay.
Try it.
I will. I will. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. This was such a joy and such a gift for me to have this conversation for so many reasons, but I really appreciate you being here. I hope you guys go check out Norma. It's normakamali.com. And then on Instagram, you're at Norma Kamali, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Kelly. Good luck to you. Keep in touch.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson, where we believe everyone has a little velvet and a little edge. Subscribe for more conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. Search Velvet's Edge wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.